Blog Talk Radio.
Live here, Sportsaholics 24/7. Just a quick thing before we start, I forgot to say, our new intro song, it's called Suit and Tie Onimus. It's by Madrotect. Check him out on SoundCloud. Look up Madrotect. That's Madrotect. All right, I'm John, your host, joined with my other three hosts, Brandon, Nick, Jordan. Guys, what's up?
Hey, John, what's up?
What's up, John?
Not much, man.
All right, so we have some good topics today. We're going to start off with the Knicks. Another loss for the Knicks.
And oh, my God.
Probably the worst, most upsetting for Knicks fans, because I think a lot of fans thought they could have won that game. Mike Woodson not calling a timeout, and Melo kind of jogging down the court. It wasn't really his fault.
I'll tell you who would do anything
to call a timeout. Well, let me just say this. It is pathetic that Priggy Smalls trips over his own feet and breaks his toe when there's not even people 10 feet within him. Well, not to mention while he is jogging, okay? First of all, I don't know how he does that. And we have to put in Beno Udra in the game, okay? I just wanted to point that out. But let me just say this. Mike Woodson has to go. Before I had my head up my ass, I'm going to be completely honest. I thought, Mike Woodson, oh, he's a good coach. He's a tough guy. He knows what he's doing. No, he doesn't. Mike Woodson does not know anything about what he's doing. First of all, okay, you put Iman Shumpert on John Wall. Great idea. That's common sense. But who do you put on Bradley Beal? Beno Udra? Are you crazy?
Yeah, but who do they have?
You're not going to meet one-on-one. And you have a foul to go. You don't foul. But worst of all, you put Beno Udra on Bradley Beal, one of Washington's best players, and not to mention, you don't have anybody to back him up. How could you
beat Beno Udra one-on-one?
I bet you. I could. Beno Udra can't play defense. The guy is so slow. And you're putting him on Bradley Beal? And not to mention, you have three timeouts left, 6 seconds to go in the game. Your team has the ball. You go running up the court. What do? You call timeout.
Well, I'll tell you who would take a timeout there. Jason Kidd would have taken a timeout. He would have filled the goddamn drink to take a timeout
for
that situation.
What are you doing?
Well, Nick, about your point about Bradley Beal, I mean, don't forget, this is his first time playing in, I'm not sure how long, a couple weeks. So maybe Beno Udra being the only real guard, the only real point guard after Pablo Prigioni. I mean, Bradley Beal is probably slowed down to begin.
This is the fourth quarter. This is late in the game. They've already seen Bradley Beal play a lot. You got to make changes. You can't put your worst player, or at least one of your worst players, on one of the other team's best players. What are you saying?
Well, who else were you going to put on?
Exactly.
Tim Hardaway Jr. He's very quick. Tim Hardaway, put him on. He's very quick. He's a good defender.
I mean, I'd rather put a veteran in that situation than a rookie. Have a lot of experience.
Are you crazy? You'd rather put in but the guy's an old man. He can't move. What's the difference if he's a veteran? At least Tim Hardaway's quick.
That is a tough spot to put a rookie in. I'm not sure if I do.
There's also a tough spot to put an old man in.
No, I personally think that whoever didn't matter who is guarding him, Bradley. They were gonna score at the end. I think the big issue, not about the Knicks' defense, but that terrible decision not to call a timeout, or by Melo kind of slowing the ball up and taking a terrible shot because Woodson was gonna call a timeout. Just bad communication.
It's both.
I see where you're coming from. That's a tough spot to put a rookie in. But I would put anybody on Bradley Beal before Beno Udra. okay? There is no reason why this should happen, and not to mention, there was nobody to back him up. That is terrible. Oh, so I'm going to put Beno Udra on Bradley Beal, and nobody's going to be behind him. Yeah, that's a real smart idea. And I'm not even going to call a timeout.
So Nick,
I just don't know what this blockhead is thinking.
So, Nick, after last night's game, you think Mike Woodson should be fired now?
Done. And honestly, looking back on it, he should have been fired before. The guy can't coach. It's that simple.
Nick, did you watch the Knicks last year? Did you see what they did with that team?
Yeah,
they won 54 games.
How about this year? Focus on
because
year.
Their best
what
defender is out. Tyson Chandler is out. Nick, you have to understand this. I went through this with the Nets when they were all injured. Tyson Chandler is injured. He's out. He's their best defender. If Tyson Chandler...
Have you seen the Knicks on defense? Have you seen...
Yeah, because Tyson Chandler's out.
They are...
Nick.
That's the coach.
Nick. Nick, Tyson Chandler is out.
So what?
He is their best defender. He makes a huge difference.
Nick, but just because Tyson Chandler's out doesn't mean Mike Woodson doesn't have a coaching job.
Okay, Nick, Tyson Chandler was not only their best defender, he probably was their best player. Look at what happened when Stoudemire was in the game. He was playing defense. Look at Bargnani. He was playing no defense.
Listen,
seriously.
I understand it, but keep in mind, a lot of that is the coaching.
No, it's not.
Okay.
These are NBA players.
Okay, Nick.
Well, I understand.
So a lot of
Bargnani
it is coaching. Nick, this is what I think. If you look at this Knicks team, there's a lot of talent on this roster. I mean, you saw what they did last year, winning 54 games, the number 2 seed in the playoffs. But I think Mike Woodson, I mean, coaching the Knicks right now is without a doubt the most difficult job in the NBA. Because of all the characters they have on this team, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, Andrea Bargnani, Meta World Peace, the list goes on. That is a tough group of players to coach. And I'm not saying I disagree with you that after this horrible start he should be gone, but I don't think he deserves the amount of blame that you're giving him.
Yeah,
some of these players are
just uncoachable. I mean, J.R. Smith, you can't coach the guy for shit. Carmelo
okay,
Anthony,
first of all, nobody's uncoachable. You can't coach. And honestly, I will admit, last year Mike Woodson did do an excellent job. He actually did somehow manage to coach J.R. Smith. So J.R. Smith is not uncoachable. I just wanted to put that out there right now. But the point is that he has not made smart decisions. He has made stupid decisions. And not just last game, but many games, they keep losing the same way. Mike Woodson fails to make adjustments on defense.
But, Nick, if you look at this Knicks team, they are not built to be good on defense. I don't think Mike Woodson deserves the blame for that. That blame comes from upper management getting the players who are not going to play defense.
Oh, yeah.
Amari Stoudemire, not known for a defensive player.
I understand that, but you got to agree with me. A lot of the problem on the defense has to do with the coaching.
Nick. These are NBA players. They've been in this league for a while. They should know how to play defense. The only coaching issue here is not with the defense. It was with not calling a timeout with a chance to win the game at the end. That is what I have an issue with coaching. Not defense. Because the coach cannot, like, in a few months and maybe in 2 years, make these players the best defenders ever. They can't. That's just the players.
I'm not saying that. But the structure of the lack of structure on the defense, that is the coaching. When you constantly see Bradley Beal and Martell Webster constantly draining threes all throughout the game, and Mike Woodson doesn't make adjustments. You got
what adjustments would you like him to make? Here's my question, Nick. What adjustments would you like him to make?
Try something new.
What else do they have? What do the Knicks have?
Out of the 5 terrible power forwards on your team, which one would you like to get torched? It's literally a lottery.
Exactly.
Which one would you like to get torched on defense? Because they're all going to get torched.
I see where you're coming from. But a lot of – I'll say this now. I'll say it again. A lot of the problems with the structure on defense has to do with the coaching. And you can't tell me that with nobody – that with Beno Udra not fouling – at that moment was just stupid. You got to foul. You have to stop the clock.
Is that the coach's? No, Nick. Nick, explain this to me. Nick, Nick,
no,
can I, wait,
Nick, Nick. Dino Udra.
Nick, Nick, listen.
Yeah.
You keep saying you'd like them to make adjustments. You know, get new. What adjustments would you like them to make? Their best defender is injured. We don't know when he's coming back. They're not that good of an offensive team anyway. What adjustments would you like them to make? Unless you do like all these wholesale changes, just bring in a whole new cast of characters in that team.
Yeah.
What adjustments do you want them to make? Because bringing in new players is not the coach. This is their team. And you can blame them the GM. You can blame them the ownership. I don't know if you can blame that and the coach. What you can't blame on the coach, though, is not calling a timeout. That's what I have an issue with.
So you think that my coach is dead?
I don't think he's a great coach. I don't think he should be fired, though.
Hold on. Here's another point.
I think
the
Knicks,
no matter – Nick, hold on.
Yeah.
Here's another point for you. No matter who the Knicks field on the floor, they always have such high expectations being a New York team, having a success story like the Knicks, and having essentially the same team as last year.
Yes, I agree.
So every time they get put on the floor – not only are they expected to win,
and
they're expected to blow the other team out of the gym.
And in a way, that is also sort of proof that it is the coaching. Because if they had the same team last year and they were able to do it last year, then why can't they do it this year? But what my point is that I'm not saying every defensive problem is Mike Woodson's fault. Not everything. Most of it is. But to say that it's not Mike Woodson's fault that the Knicks lost last night, then you're out of your mind.
Nick, let's wrap up this topic. Let's wrap up this topic right now. Great discussion there. Obviously, we all, most of us have a very different viewpoints on this situation. And let's move on now to the NFL draft. College football season winding down. NFL season winding down. And it looks like, the Texans are probably going to have the first pick in the draft.
Houston Texans, baby.
Houston Texans, and... do they take a quarterback? They have Case Keenum, who's been
okay. Absolutely.
Or do they take the best player available?
Teddy Bridgewater's both.
Teddy Bridgewater's both the best player
and the best quarterback. Okay? The Houston Texans have no quarterback. Case Keenum is a solid backup at best, and Matt Schaub has no future in Houston, nor with any other NFL team as a starter, at least. I say take a quarterback. You have a franchise wide receiver in Andre Johnson. You have a great running back in Arian Foster, and you have a great tight end in Owen Daniels. So why can't you win games? Because your quarterback play is horrible. You need a quarterback. The Texans defense is solid enough already with J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing. I would have taken Jadeveon Clowney. I think he's lost a step. I don't think he's going to be that great of a prospect coming into the league, or at least what everyone saw at the Outback Bowl last year. I personally think you take Teddy Bridgewater. And if not Teddy Bridgewater,
Brandon,
you take another quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater staying with Louisville. He's not entering the NFL draft.
Oh, wow. This is news for me.
No. He's undecided. He's not sure.
Oh, from what I heard.
He has not made a decision.
Okay.
No, he's undecided. He can come back, but he can – let's hear from Jordan. We haven't heard from him in a while.
I actually agree with you, Brandon. If you look at the Texans, the Matt Schaub era is done. That's over. You have the number one pick in the draft. And if you look at this team, there's a lot of talent. You got guys on offense like Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, Owen Daniels. You have – a solid offense. You got a pretty good defense with J.J. Watt, Jonathan Joseph. You got some good defenders. If you have the number one pick and you are able to draft Teddy Bridgewater, who I think is a great prospect out of Louisville, I think he throws an accurate deep ball. He's got a great arm. I think you got to go with him. I think he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. And the Texans,
he's great pocket presence.
Right, and the Texans, who have made the playoffs the past 2 years. They've been a very good team. All of a sudden, they slip off because of their quarterback. And I think if they can get Bridgewater, and he could succeed to a certain extent, they could be right back where they were in a very short amount of time.
Now, I don't think they should get Bridgewater. I think they should get Johnny Manziel. I think he would be better with the Texans.
Why not?
Tell me why not.
The only reason why not.
Johnny Manziel. Why would you get Johnny Manziel? I think Johnny Manziel out of the quarterbacks coming in into the draft, if Teddy Bridgewater does go to the NFL, is not first, not second best. I think he's third best. In my mind, I have Teddy Bridgewater first and Blake Bortles out of Central Florida second. So if I'm the Texans and I'm going to take a quarterback, I take one of those two. I don't take Manziel.
But why?
Why?
Johnny Manziel is not a great fit. He's
exactly.
not a great fit with the Texans. Based on what?
Because
he does have Andre Johnson as Mike Evans, but Johnny Manziel led his team in rushing, okay? So
exactly.
why would he start handing the ball off to Arian Foster, who's going to do most of the workload? Plus, Johnny Manziel only has Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels, okay? This kid, DeAndre Hopkins, he's not that great. He's not that great. He had a couple good games this season, but that was about it. And that was only because Matt Schaub was throwing the deep ball like it was his freaking job. I mean, when you really think about it, unless Kevin Sumlin comes out and coaches the Texans, Johnny Manziel's not finding his way to Houston. Believe me.
Now, I think Johnny Manziel could be a pretty good quarterback, but with the number one pick, that's a very risky move. And I don't really think right now he compares to Teddy Bridgewater's status as an NFL quarterback, a great college quarterback. I think he can make the transition, but the way I see it, he's a mid to late first round pick right now.
However, I will say this though: Johnny Manziel does have a very good arm, and
he does.
He's a great athlete.
He can be successful. I do see your point about Teddy Bridgewater. He is more of a pocket passer than Johnny Manziel, who is more of a rusher.
Also, who wants the media coverage that comes with getting Johnny Manziel? Who wants to have
the media? Focus on wins. Don't worry about the media. Just take the best player. That's how I feel.
Exactly. The media is overrated. You don't need to worry about that.
In my opinion, there are only two players you could take at number one right now. Teddy Bridgewater, should he decide to go to the draft, and Anthony Barr at UCLA. Those are the only two people I would take right now.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need another wide receiver. I would not take Marquise Lee or even Allen Robinson or anybody for that matter.
Yeah, I think they will probably go with Bridgewater if he does go into the NFL, if he does declare himself eligible for the draft. But we should see. And who do you think could be a surprise in this draft? Who do you think is a guy that's kind of under the radar that could, jump up on draft day?
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Allen Robinson,
stud
yes.
for Penn State.
Thank you.
He is not necessarily the next Megatron, but he is getting very, very close to that level. Personally, I think he's the second-best wide receiver out of this class outside of Mike Evans out of Texas A&M. I think
Allen Robinson, whatever team
he goes to, he's going to not only make an immediate impact, but he's going to make a great impact for whatever team, should there be a quarterback on that team.
Dude, Brandon, I'm going to go in a different direction there, Brandon. I think Allen Robinson could be pretty good, but, my surprise pick, I know he's getting a lot of attention, but Sammy Watkins out of Clemson, I would not be surprised if a team trades up to a top-five pick to get him. He's making
maybe,
a lot of noise of
late. Maybe the Jets would get him, considering the amount
that's
of
That's
position.
What I've been thinking. I think the Jets need a wide receiver.
That is a possible. That is possible.
That would be good. Now, one quick note on Allen Robinson.
But I would take Allen Robinson over anybody. But Sammy Watkins has done very well. Allen Robinson has 1,432 yards with 97 receptions. How can you tell me the guy's not amazing?
One quick note on Robinson. He's a junior, so he could come back one more year. And
I think, personally,
as a huge Penn State fan, I really hope you will. And I actually think you will. He said that he's going to take this Christmas break to decide whether he's going to declare for the NFL or he will stay one more year at college. And, he was rated as a third-team All-American. I don't get that. Second and third – I mean, some websites said he's first-team All-American, but most said he's second and third-team All-American, which does not make sense to me. And I personally think he has some unfinished business at Penn State.
Well, I feel like he has a lot to prove, but he's already proved enough, and I think he's a great prospect in the draft. I see him going somewhere. Now, one last question before we wrap up. Where do you think Jadeveon Clowney is going to fall? Because I know that his stock has fallen quite a bit from the beginning of the season, and
There's no way he's the number one pick anymore with Houston on the board. So where do you think he's going to go?
I really don't know. Because I remember watching the first game this season, North Carolina versus South Carolina. They had separate cameras just focused on him, on Jadeveon Clowney. And then teams started to go away from him. I think he will end up being a first-round pick. He won't be top five, probably not top ten. He'll be a mid-to-late first-round pick because he is an absolute freak of nature in terms of his body and athleticism, his quickness. But this season is kind of underwhelming.
Right. Personally, I think he's going to go. The highest he would go is number three to the Atlanta Falcons. I think that's the dream fit for Clowney and for the Falcons because they desperately need a linebacker. Okay, John Abraham has done absolutely nothing.
But Jadeveon Clowney is not a linebacker. He's a defensive end.
Well, you know what I mean. He can play both positions.
All right, let's wrap this topic up.
Hold on.
Let's wrap this topic up. All right, we have just under 9 minutes to go. And as always, if you guys have any questions, please, we appreciate your calls. 347-884-8496 is the number to talk to us. Any questions?
Come on,
just
call in.
Just call
in.
I
want to hear you.
We had some pretty good calls yesterday. All right, let's move on now. You know, I know Jordan had something prepared for this right now. Let's move on. He's been preparing for this for a while now. The Jets, Jordan?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Berkowitz. With an interesting and unique take on the New York Jets season. Jordan, take it away.
Well, last night, Justin Tucker's 61-yard field goal officially ended the Jets season. So now it is for my third year in a row for my annual Jets rant. And this time, I'm going to start back with the 2012 draft class. And if you look at this, in my opinion, it's a blessing and a curse. You had Andrew Luck and RG3 go number 1 and 2. Exceeded expectations, were incredible quarterbacks in their rookie year. You had Russell Wilson go third round, who did better than anybody expected. Was right up there with Andrew Luck and RG3. And even Ryan Tannehill, who was a first-round pick, he exceeded expectations as well, but his season was overlooked by these other guys. And even adding on, you had running backs and wide receivers like Alfred Morris, Trent Richardson, Josh Gordon, T.Y. Hilton, all these guys. So what did that do? That raised the expectations. That set the standard way too high for rookies in the NFL. If you look at the rookie season, you know, the rookie season is supposed to be a time where rookies are adjusting to the NFL, and they're supposed to struggle. You cannot expect a guy to come in like the Seahawks, Redskins, and Colts went from being some of the worst teams in the NFL to the playoffs in 2012. Now, if you look at it from the Jets' perspective, you got John Idzik coming in his first year. He looks at the quarterback situation. You got Mark Sanchez, Greg McElroy, Tim Tebow. Now, these are all guys who just are not going to get the job done. So you go into the NFL draft. You want to pick your own quarterback. You got a guy who put up great stats in college in Geno Smith. And I'm not saying I disagree with that, but the one problem, Sean, is to set Geno Smith up to fail. I mean, you put Geno Smith in this offense with your leading receiver, Jeremy Curley, and Jeff Cumberland, and a decent at-best running game with Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell, you cannot expect the guy to succeed.
So who's
ultimately going to fail? It's Rex Ryan, because Sean Idzik did not pick Rex Ryan. He comes in, he's got a year left. You see, if he cannot get Geno Smith to the playoffs like the three guys did last year, well, it's your fault. And that's really unfair to Rex Ryan, because what is he supposed to do with this offense? It's unacceptable, and I think John Idzik is the one to blame.
I agree with you 100%, Jordan. I am blinded by your brightness.
Thank you, Nick.
I agree with you 100%. Rex Ryan has done a great job this season. And like you said, the Jets' offense is terrible. The main problem right now is their offense, not their defense. I mean, yeah, it would be nice to get a couple good safeties or maybe a couple good cornerbacks in there, but their main thing is their offense. Geno Smith has no receivers to throw to. Their running game is okay. I mean, their leaders are Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell. They're not really leaders, okay? And you're right. You can't expect Rex Ryan to succeed, and you can't expect Geno Smith to succeed in those circumstances.
So now I think ultimately the decision has to be made that Geno Smith deserves a second year. I may not agree with it, but you can't just cut him off after 1 year without any talent on offense. And I will say this. I think Mike Tannenbaum does deserve some of the blame. John Izik was put in a very tough position, but he did nothing to try to help this offense in the offseason. All he did was get Chris Ivory. He signed DeJuan Landry, Antoine Barnes.
Yeah.
No,
and he kind of drafted Sheldon Richardson and traded away Revis, but yeah, go on.
Well, that was a good move, honestly, trading Revis.
Well,
yeah.
In the end, yeah. Yeah. All right, what were you saying, Brandon?
For me, I'll touch on this at a later date because I have a full, Jets end of season recap coming soon, but the main problem with the Jets is actually none of the people that you just listed.
Oh, really?
It's actually Woody Johnson that's the biggest problem for the Jets right now.
Okay.
Because unfortunately, Woody Johnson controls this entire team. He makes all of the moves, he signs off on all the papers, and he makes all the decisions. And as of right now, for the past 5 years, since Rex Ryan has been hired, not a single decision has been made that has truly impacted this team in a nothing but positive way. The Darrelle Revis trade, yes, it got us an extra first-round pick. Yes, it got us Sheldon Richardson. But look at our secondary, okay?
If we didn't trade Revis, that ninth pick would have gone to Sheldon Richardson.
Yes.
But we would have had Revis and Cromartie in the backfield and Sheldon Richardson.
I don't think it would have gone to Sheldon Richardson.
He was number four on our draft board. If we only had the pick at ninth, we were going to pick him.
I don't know. To be completely honest, Woody Johnson's the main problem with the Jets, and I'll dive into that
later
today. But you guys are absolutely right with what you're saying. I completely agree with you.
But,
and yes, I do deserve that Rex Ryan should stay and that Geno Smith does deserve a second year. But long story short, if this team doesn't improve, it's on Woody Johnson's shoulders because he's the one who's making these decisions. Okay?
Now, let me just say this. In the draft, the guys they need to draft are, this is my top two picks, Trey Mason and Allen Robinson. They need to stack up on their running game and they need to stack up on the receivers. With the safeties in the corners and the backfield, I'm not too worried about that. Dean Milliner, he sucked in the beginning, let's face it. But later on, he's gotten better and better, and he's learning. So I see a bright future for Dean Milliner. I don't think the cornerbacks is at all a problem. Now, if the Jets can somehow get Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, I'm all for it. Get him. He's been great. Best safety in college football. But the main problem is the offense. Stack up on the running game, stack up on the receivers, and the Jets can be successful.
And then you
give Geno Smith another chance. If you have Allen Robinson, or even if you have another receiver, get Marquise Lee. Get Amari Cooper.
No, do not get Marquise Lee. I can't trust anybody out of USC anymore. I just can't do it. My heart would break.
All right, guys, we have to start wrapping up this topic right now. We have 90 seconds to go. We were planning to talk a little bit about the World Cup, but that Jets segment ran a little long. I guess we could talk quickly, 20 seconds about that. Brandon and I will discuss that. USA, tough draw. They're in a pool with Germany, Portugal, and Ghana, which is basically being called group of death. And the top two teams from each group advance, and it'll be tough for the U.S. to advance, but I think that they have a chance, actually, to advance.
No way.
If Ghana's beatable, Portugal actually tied Israel.
As much as I hate to say it, there is no way that USA advances out of that group, and we'll dive into that later. But no way.
All right.
Now,
I personally think they can do that. I think they can get out.
Now, I have a few shout-outs. My first shout-out is to Dave Herman at CHS. And my second is to the two girls basketball coaches at CHS, John Hines and Dan Silvestro. I know you guys are on the hot seat this year, but keep it up, man. You guys could do it.
All right, and I have a shout-out as well. Shout-out to Magitech for making that sick intro. And I heard he might be on the show eventually.
Yeah, we're trying to get an interview with him.
Interview.
Right, we have 10 seconds to go. I'm just going to leave you guys off with this. We might have a very special interview coming up soon. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, good episode. Good episode.
Good job, guys.
The beginning was the best.
John.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to end it, all right?
Why did you spoil the Dick Vitale thing?
I never said
did
who.
You spoil it? You said a special
I didn't
guest.
Spoil
you
it.
Never
I said
it.
A
gonna,
very,
no, guys.
Might,
guys, I think I'm going to be able to, I might actually be able to get a Kevin Burkhardt on.
Really?
Because there's a teacher, well, not a teacher, like an aide in my school, and she's Kevin Burkhardt's cousin.
Oh, wow.
So maybe like around, I mean, yeah, we could get him on. I know he's a big Jet fan, a big Met fan, so get his take in the Mets and the Jets season. Well,
okay.
You guys, so,
guys,
can we just talk about this quickly for a sec? So, Friday, guys, what are you guys all doing?
I might be going away. I don't know.
Just this Friday?
Maybe. It's like it's break, right?
Right. That's the first. That's like the first day of work.
All right, yo, guys, I gotta go.
All right, see ya.
All right,
see ya.
Well,
see you guys.
Well, because the thing is that Friday, because I'm assuming that we all want to go out and see the new Anchorman movie. I figured we should all meet up together before we leave and do the show together in the same room.
Okay.
Because I feel like that
right,
would be
I'll let you know, right?
For us to do. All right, absolutely.
Okay.
Man.
See
you. Right, I got to eat dinner.
See you.
See you, man.
All right, see you.
See you.
Good show.
Good show.